The Red Eye Radio Podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Welcome and good morning. Hope everybody is being good and not nasty today. We don't like nastiness.
Yeah.
Nastiness is not okay.
The word of the year will be nasty.
Nasty.
I hope it is. I really hope it is. Please make that happen.
Oh, wow. Please make that happen.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be just great.
Yeah, I love it.
Well, I'm looking here, Ms. Gillibrand and Mr. Booker.
Okay.
Reading here, this is Frank Miniter from Fox News. Cory Booker knows the truth about gun violence, but sadly, he can't say it. As he runs for president, Senator Cory Booker is stumbling over his past position on guns.
Oh?
This is worth noting because his dilemma is an example of why America really can't come together behind honest solutions. Last Sunday, CNN host Jake Tapper. Where'd I get that from? What'd I say, Jack Tapper? Jake Tapper. Apparently, even though I got 11 hours sleep yesterday, I haven't woken up yet.
I do that all the time.
Jack Tapper?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what I said?
Mm-hmm.
Last Sunday, CNN host Jake Tapper pushed Booker on his show to explain what he would do to stop a murderer like the one who struck in Virginia Beach.
Right.
You said yesterday that mass shootings in America cannot just go on in our country. And you have unveiled a comprehensive gun reform plan, Tapper said. Now ATF says that the two weapons used in the attack were handguns, not semi-automatic rifles. They say that they were purchased legally. How would your plan have stopped this tragedy, if at all? Booker knew he couldn't be honest without hurting his chances in the 2020 Democratic presidential primary, so he tried to sidestep the important issue with generalities. This is a tragedy today, but you know that every single day in the United States and America, in the aggregate, in the nasty aggregate, but in the aggregate,
you're conflating the two.
Oh boy, that's not an inside joke, but you had to be listening about 45 minutes ago to understand that.
Hey, if you weren't, that's your problem.
Right. Go back.
Listen to the podcast.
Listen to the podcast, yes. In the aggregate, we have mass shootings that go on in neighborhoods like mine. And Tapper interrupted, said, I'm sorry to interrupt, but you keep saying we're not helpless. So I'm saying, what would have prevented the tragedy? Booker just continued to evade the question. Part of the reason for the obvious dodge was that none of Booker's or other Democrats' proposal would have stopped this murderer, as the killer's handguns had been purchased legally, and there is no red flag, at least that's publicly known now, that would have put this man on law enforcement or public health officials' radars. But Booker likely also would have trouble answering because he knows that the honesty he expressed just a few years ago would hurt him politically today. In 2012, Cory Booker said, listen to me, the people are dying in Chicago. People are dying in Newark. And we're not done with law-abiding gun owners. We do not need to go after the guns. Whoa. A law-abiding, mentally stable American? That's not America's problem. End of quote, Booker said in 2012.
Yeah.
Kirsten Gillibrand here, also facing the same thing, after she slammed the NRA as the worst organization in this country.
Wow.
The group Monday posted a letter it received from Gillibrand back in 2008 in which she praised, quote, the work that the NRA does to protect gun owners' rights, and said she hoped to work with it for many years in Congress, end of quote.
It's like they think the internet doesn't exist. Do you think they forget what they said?
You know, you and I have said this many times before. And you've often said this. Were they lying then or were they lying now?
Right. Which one do you believe? Right.
Is Booker lying now or was he lying back then? Mm-hmm. Is Gillibrand not lying now or lying back then?
Right.
Now, she claims every time that she has evolved on an opinion. I don't think that adults, you do not have adults that change their opinion 180 degrees as adults. That doesn't happen. If it does happen, you have to question that person's commitment to their ideology and their leadership potential, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would have to be some kind of massive, maybe personal life-changing event that would be responsible for that. It's rare.
It's very, very, well, it's
well,
like,
okay, let me say this. In regards to a relationship with a lobbying group like the NRA.
Yes.
Maybe you have a different position on gun ownership, and it changes as the result of an incident, maybe something that happens to you, Gabby Giffords, or there might be a number of individuals who suffer a loss or suffer an injury or something, and then they change their mind on an issue. It's different when you're talking about massive lobbying groups, and gosh, the one that is clearly always in the line of sight for the liberals is the NRA. And I think that's where it becomes something
very
different.
Well, as I've often said, though, if somebody I was close to was killed mm-hmm. in a gun crime, mm-hmm. I would be, you know, of course, I would be furious. I would be sad. I would be grieving. It would not change my mind that an individual has a right.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't change my mind on the Second Amendment. I might look at things that happen in that specific case and say, law enforcement clearly missed this.
Right.
Or this person had the gun illegally and had there was an opportunity to be prosecuted. But I wouldn't change my mind on the Second Amendment.
I wouldn't either. It has happened, but I wouldn't.
It does happen to some people. These are politicians, though.
Yeah. And I think it's different when you're talking, again, about a right. relationship with an organization, because that really gets away from just the core issue of Second Amendment.
Or Cory Booker. Mm-hmm. It's not law-abiding people's problems.
Right.
And when he was focusing on was the inner city.
Right.
As you know, you can't do that. You cannot. Think about liberalism really has advanced, have they not?
Hmm.
Think about this. You know, the oppressor of gay rights now are lesbians.
Hmm. Yeah.
And now when minorities are being murdered in the inner city at huge levels, you as a Democrat can't talk about that.
Right.
Think about that. Hmm. Isn't that fascinating? That the point that he's making here is Booker was saying back in 2012, he was saying, look, the problem is in Chicago. It's in Newark. It's in the inner cities where people have guns illegally. That's what we have to do something about. You can't go after the law-abiding citizen. You can't say that now. No. A Democrat cannot focus and look at where the murders of minorities are at huge numbers. They have to pretend it doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
And where those guns are illegal.
Nope. No.
Don't have to focus on that at all. And in Gillibrand's case, she wrote a letter to a lobby organization, the NRA, and said, I love the work that you're doing. Hopefully I can work with you in the future. And now today they're the worst organization in the history of our country? Really? Does anybody buy that? Does anybody really buy that she thinks that way? I go back to who wrote the song. I'd rather be hated for who I am than loved for who I'm not. Oh, I know who it is. The country band Van Zandt. The two Van Zandt brothers, Donnie from 38 Special and Johnny from Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Mm-hmm.
I always love that line. If you're a talk radio host, you have to love that line.
Right,
I'd rather be hated for who I am than loved for who I'm not. And you see so many Democratic politicians who wish to be loved for who they're not.
Yes, right.
I don't know how people go through life like that. I don't know. I could never run for political office. Like what Joe Biden's doing right now. As we said, Joe Biden wasn't saying anything because he needs to know what people think in order for him to be elected.
Well, he's basically saying, hey, would you guys pass to the front of the class what you guys want me to run on?
Right.
What I should be talking about, what I should be concerned with. And they're trying to pass that off as some kind of intellectual approach.
No.
It is not.
No.
I want to know what you believe. Well, it's the same thing with Skater Bob.
I don't believe anything. I wish to believe what you believe.
Right.
Well, Skater Bob did the same thing, yes.
Right, right. It's like, okay, when I get in the White House, we'll just open up the lines. I'll just do a talk show every morning, and we'll take a vote. What do you guys want me to do today? It's ridiculous.
Tariff or not?
Yes, right, exactly. Let's go to line two. Or they'll do it like C-SPAN. Okay, the anti-tariff, we'll call this number, and the pro-tariff, we'll call this number.
C-SPAN, the C-SPAN show will decide where the country goes.
Exactly. But that's the idea, because this is where we are. The reality of it all is that, and it plays this way. It has for a long time played this way, at least in modern times, where... especially with Bill Clinton, he was back in the day, he was the king at it. Still today, to some extent, he tries to get away with it with, I signed it, but I wish I hadn't. But back then it was whichever the way the polls are showing you should go, he would go. But it's different today because you're caught. You're shamed. They need you. It used to be just a few short years ago. It used to be, we need you to be a champion for our cause. Get in line in our parade. Hold our banner and wave it proudly as if you're one of us. Now it's get in line, get in our parade, hold our banner, and what the hell do you think you're doing? You're not one of us.
You know, you've made the point that the excitement level at any of the campaign stops for the Democrats isn't close to what Donald Trump still has today. But look at the difference. They're all, you know, every one of them, you can see major, 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 major hypocrisy.
Mm-hmm.
But Trump is really ran on the things that he has been promoting for the last 40 years and continues to do so. I'm not saying that on some of the issues he doesn't take a 180-degree turn at times. But a lot of those issues, for example, when we talked about, you remember the visa where he changed his mind. On the visas, what was it, 3 times in 24 hours during the campaign that one time? It's like, oh man, you know, it looks bad. But the majority of its stuff, the core stuff, has always been his beliefs.
Well, because it's not like he's saying one minute he's for border security and the next minute he's saying he's for open borders.
Open borders, right, exactly.
Because we can have that discussion on, well, wait a minute, the business community wants people here to work jobs, to fill those roles as we expand our economy. And you can say, okay, wait, what kind of, all right, how do we do that? Exactly how do we regulate the border?
No, you make a great point, though. Almost every Democrat that's running for president or leader of the Democrat Party right now was for strict border control just less than 5 years ago.
Right.
Now they're for open borders.
Right.
Think about that. So you have to ask the question, what are the Democrats' core beliefs? You know what the core beliefs of Trump is because he has had them for such a long time. And I guess that's a point with the American people. A lot of American people say, well, I want to vote for the guy who is really solid and absolutely sure about the majority of the things that he believes.
Right.
These people over here, they can't make up their mind. They change their mind as the wind blows.
Mm-hmm.
Or when they're protested.
Right.
Whenever the resistance wants something else, they just follow what the resistance wants.
And it is to the opposite extent. I mean, it is the 180.
Complete 180.
The president on border security, it's okay, border security, and we can have the discussion on visas.
Well, Gillibrand, sending a letter.
Yeah.
I love the work you do. Hopefully someday I can work with you.
Right.
To the Fox News town hall thing the other night where she's like, it's the worst organization in the country.
Right.
It's the worst organization there that you just loved 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
866-90-RED-EYE.
You're pumped for summer, but are your tires? As the temperature rises, so does the importance of tire maintenance. The key to staying on the road this summer is to stay on top of routine tire inspections. Inspecting your tires regularly for proper inflation and tread depth is essential to tire performance and increasing your vehicle's safety. Regular tire checks can also help you detect other issues and maintenance that may be necessary. Irregular tread wear, for example, could indicate your tire alignment is off, which can affect the performance, safety, and lifespan of the tires. Catching and correcting issues early on is the key to long tire life. Stop into a TA truck service near you for all of your tire service needs today.
This maintenance tip is brought to you by TA Truck Service. More bays, more expertise, more solutions.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Welcome and good morning. We spent a lot of time earlier talking about the Mueller report and the distortion of inside the Mueller report. I'm not including all of the quotes that gives you a completely different context, and they got caught doing that. We go to Pat in Richmond, Michigan. Pat, hi. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Hey, thanks for having me. What I'm disillusioned about is our media, how they engage and entertain this most foolish comment that Robert Mueller came out with, you know, last week when he, you know, I could, you know, this is probably headline news. You guys might want to run with this, too. You know, I have no evidence that Robert Mueller is a child molester, but I have no evidence that he is, but I have no evidence that he isn't either. I mean, that's the same kind of comment you can make about anybody.
Right. Well, and that's the threat. That is the real threat right there, Pat. I think it's a great demonstration in that kind of heinous crime that you use in that. And it's not over the top. It is, but it's not for nothing. Because imagine, and thank you for the call, imagine that somebody in a considerable position of power, a prosecutor at any level, could just get away with doing this over and over again. Well, we've seen it play out now. We've actually seen it. If they can do it at the top level, they can do it at any given level.
No, I think you make the right point. We had used murder earlier, but you know, a child molester, you know, we went through the evidence, and why we couldn't find any evidence that he was a child abuser, we can't rule out that he is not a child abuser.
Well,
think
okay,
about
so
that.
Imagine that that were the charge, you know, the whole, well, question really about Trump going in. Imagine that that were the crime they were investigating. And that's what Mueller said. Because when it's in the political landscape, when it fades into that landscape, the American people, many people just kind of put it aside and go, yeah, but he kind of, and they can wag their finger or they can scoff or they can look away. But if it were that kind of heinous crime, imagine the effect of Mueller's actions and his words along the way. That would be absolutely pathetic.
Morally and politically, it's still huge, because what you have done is you've given a significant portion of Trump haters out there, the opposition party, ammunition to go to impeachment when there's no crime and no evidence of a crime. And that's what they're still talking about right now.
They're guilty. Exoneration is not an option. Eric Harley and Gary McNamara on Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Harley. I'm Gary McNamara. Oh, Deep Voice Guy just said that. 866-90-RED-EYE. You know, I just was reading this article here, and I just thought to myself, this is really would be for some interesting speculation. And this is in The Guardian UK, where there's about to be a brand new prime minister in Denmark, Mette Frederiksen, leader of Denmark's opposition Social Democrats.
Okay.
The calls for a general election last week, she has all the momentum with the left of center bloc starting with an 8 percentage point lead. Fewer doubting that she will become Denmark's youngest ever prime minister after the election on June 5th. I'm super excited because we so desperately need a change of our government, said one campaign volunteer. A victory for Frederiksen would be a boon for Europe's social democrats as they gaze across the continent at the dispirited political landscape, but it would not be without controversy. For under Frederiksen, the party has been ruthlessly reshaped, dragged to the left economically, and sharply to the right on immigration.
Oh, really?
For me, it is becoming increasingly clear that the price of unregulated globalization, mass immigration, and the free movement of labor is paid for by the lower class. Denmark's current right-wing coalition government last year enacted the most anti-immigration legislation in Danish history, and rather than position her party in stark opposition, she has embraced much of it. Which brings me to the question. I was thinking, because I read this during one of the commercial breaks. I just happened to see the article. And I was just walking around here in our last break, just walking around thinking to myself, is that where Democrats made the mistake? Could Democrats have almost, remember back in 2016,
mm-hmm.
where the talk was that, you know, Hillary is going to win. And remember, and you and I talked, we remember reading the headlines.
Oh,
there may never be a Republican president again.
Right.
And we said, wow, that's quite a proclamation to make that you can predict forever.
Yeah, every election from here on.
Right. And it didn't end up being true in the next election.
Mm-hmm.
But if Democrats, because remember, they were talking tough on immigration even 5 to 10 years ago. And it was during the Obama, really about, you know, when really when you think about it, when Obama was elected is when the turn really started changing.
Mm-hmm.
But if the Democrat Party had stayed I won't say true to their rhetoric, because their rhetoric wasn't always necessarily what they did when it came to illegal immigration.
Right.
But if the would that have been a success? Could the Democrats have guaranteed themselves legislative and executive branch dominance if they would have promoted the social welfare state, which obviously is winning in this country, maybe not as quickly as it did has in other countries, Denmark, for example,
mm-hmm.
that isn't socialist, but they have a bigger social welfare state.
Right.
That's one of the things that need to be corrected, because free market-wise, in many ways, they are more free market when it comes to their industries than the United States, as had been pointed out.
Mm.
And that's truly where you're getting to socialism, because socialism is a combination of, you know, government acquiring more control of the capital, both in government programs and over industry.
Right. Yeah.
And you can go in a bigger direction one way than you do the other way.
Sure.
But I wonder. I'm just thinking as I walk around the hallway. Would that, if the Democrats had come out and said, "Look, we've been promoting this but not doing it. Let's promote a social welfare state, and let's talk about the fact that we need to be, you know, anti-globalization, and you know, an anti illegal immigration, and even anti immigration,
right?
Because what they're talking about, and she's endorsing, is the fact of the free movement of labor is making it so, even of legal immigration, mm-hmm. is causing wages to be suppressed.
Right.
And remember during the Obama administration, when the survey came out that said because of illegal immigration and the number of illegal immigrants, that it is hurting minorities the most.
Right, sure.
If a Democrat had grabbed a hold of that and done what Trump did, would there ever be a Donald Trump?
You know, we've touched on, I think, a number of things over the years. What are we seeing right now with exporting LNG?
Yes.
We talked about
yes.
natural gas.
Right. Freedom gas.
Right. But if you were developing clean energy, and natural gas is clean energy, the left is going to tell you it's not.
Right.
The only clean energy is from green energy, whether it's solar or wind, which is not true. But had they embraced that, had Obama been able to sell that, right? And said, if we go toward the natural gas route, we're talking about much fewer emissions and everything else, and we believe that the private sector will be able to work out batteries that are much more efficient long term, and we'll let them work that out. But we're going to, as a nation, we're going to let the private sector also focus on that. But then we're going to control our borders to the extent. And keep in mind, as you pointed out, we've talked about, and in fact, we mentioned it earlier, the Democrats were talking about securing the borders. And it was just what? It was 2014, as late as 2014.
Right.
Talking about barriers on the border, a fence on the border, what Trump calls a wall on the border. Imagine that, because what isn't thought about, what isn't put into the equation in terms of the stagnation of wages, and this is something that the left has been really, really, really harping on over the last several years. Well, wages aren't going up. Wages aren't going up. That's not true. They are going up. But would they?
We're talking about political strategy,
yes,
not
exactly.
necessarily reality.
But one of the things that is, because there is a global rise in the workforce, and we don't mean just people who go to other nations, but there are emerging markets. Asia is the example that everybody points to. The point being is that you have a growing labor force globally that American labor and all labor in the world is competing with. Now take that down to the domestic level. You know, in Denmark, they're dealing with it. This is their answer. But could you have something in a more, would you have had something very different if the Democrats would have been able to settle it? I think it's a very intriguing question.
You know, I talk about my late Uncle Norm, who was a union guy and a Democrat. Mm. And he did tell me, he used to listen to my show all the time, and he said, look, I still disagree with you on a bunch of different things, but I like your show because you explain exactly why you get to it, and therefore I understand. Mm-hmm. I understand the conservative, you know, mindset a lot better. And it has helped mold me, he said, but still he was always a union guy, but it was always, you know, friendly. It was always friendly, and I always had a great respect and love for him, and I know it was, you know, back my way too. But when I look at it, and I think that's where the Democrat, he died probably about 14, 15 years ago. So And he was a lifelong Democrat. And I just wonder that he was about the manufacturing base. He was about taking care of Americans first.
Mm-hmm.
That was where the Democrat Party was. I mean, that's why they had the union members. You and I have talked about how the union members disagree with, and we've been talking about this for the last, since we've been on together, look, to the union members, your management is talking about basically open borders.
Right. Yeah.
Does that fit with them care? Remember, their only job is to care for you. It's not to care for anybody else.
Right.
They're supposed to care about your welfare. That's why you're paying the dues to them. And so we had stated that. But if they had stuck on, and I was like I said, I'm thinking of my Uncle Norm and other people like him who were lifelong Democrats. And if that, but they were more, but in a lot of their beliefs, they were conservative. Believe me, I can guarantee my uncle would be saying, what? What do you mean? What do you mean we're going to legislate that a man can be a girl whenever you want? But if they would have stuck to just the social welfare state, could anything have beaten that long term? Because that's where society's going until the social welfare state crumbles. Everybody wishes to go in that direction. And we see in the United States, we're even doing the same thing. We've talked about the Republican Party moving more to a social welfare state. The members, the rank and file, whether it was Obamacare or whatever, you can see the slow movement, not to socialism in industry, but to a social welfare state. And I think that's what even some of the Democrat Hickenlooper was talking about the other day. Look, we can't be socialist in the economy because that can't support the welfare state. We need to be a free economy that can maximize profits because the profits pay for the social welfare state. And that's what you have to understand. And that's why he's getting booed off the stage, because they don't want to hear it. They don't even want corporations to exist in the free market if it will make it easier to pay for the social welfare state. That's how confused the Democrat is today. But if they would have stuck with that, as you said, the manufacturing base, because until about 15 years ago, Democrats owned that political rhetoric.
They really did.
It was Democrats who always were talking about, we've got to protect the manufacturing base. We got to protect the manufacturing base. Mm-hmm. Democrats were accusing Republicans of allowing too much legal immigration.
Right. Right.
That we need to cut back on that. If the Democrats had stuck to what really you think about that brought them to the power that they became, you know, in the 19, you know, in the 80s and grow into the 90s under a Bill Clinton, who was much more, you know, the you know, you could actually view him as a moderate compared to today's Democrats. Now that you look back at it, anybody ever think we'd say that? But if they would have stuck to that instead of the insanity that we're dealing with all the time, and you see it, you know, here, that's what she's doing. Listen to this here. Under her leadership
in Denmark,
this is the Social Democrats. They have called for a cap on non-Western immigrants. Could you imagine if Trump called for that?
Oh my gosh!
Well, no, and these are the socialist liberals in Denmark calling for a cap on non-Western immigrants. For every asylum seeker to be expelled to a reception center in North Africa.
Wow.
And for all immigrants to be forced to work 37 hours a week in exchange for benefits. This is the most liberal party that is promoting the social welfare state in Denmark. That's where they stand on. We're not even talking illegal immigration. We're talking legal immigration
on the working 37 hours. If Trump came out and said, if you're getting government benefits and you're able bodied and you have an able mind, able bodied, and you're required from now on to get federal benefits, you're required to work 37 hours a week, it'd be over. That'd be a non-starter. And then that doesn't even get into immigration. Wow.
Okay. Democrats, you need a new socialist country. Venezuela's gone. Denmark's now gone. Where are you going to go now? Where's the new one?
Yeah.
Well, you know, Russia's not doing that bad. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carlin. I'm Gary McNamara. 866-90-RED-EYE. So I just thought that was really, really amazing about you know, the whole Denmark thing and where the Socialist Party has gone, or the most liberal party, which is, okay, a bigger welfare state, but immigration, we really hardly want any immigration. No non-Western immigration to Denmark. Think about that. If the United States did something, because the left always compliments Denmark. Oh, they're a great socialist state, and as we brought up, they're not socialist. They have a huge, now they are partly socialist, a greater degree of socialism in a social welfare state, but they have come to recognize we need a great economy. We need a free economy in order to pay for the social welfare state, and we wonder if the Democrats have ever, had ever taken that position, whether they would be in a much better position than they are right now, than the craziness that you see.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and the world, 866-90-RED-EYE. I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley. In the news, the president and a toast to the Queen.
On behalf of all Americans, I offer a toast to the eternal friendship of our people, the vitality of our nations, and to the long-cherished and truly remarkable reign of Her Majesty, the Queen.
Well, let's tear that statement into shreds here, and let's talk about what's really going on.
What
and
he
how
really
much she
meant
hates Trump, and how much Trump hates her.
Yeah,
yeah,
now, you know, bizarre.
Very. Is Reuters still? They were like for 20 minutes or so.
Yeah.
On the blowing up of the Trump. What is it? A float?
It's the Trump baby blimp.
Oh, the blimp, the Trump baby blimp. Yes.
Let's see if we can go. I'll go back to that because I stayed around for 30 minutes. I don't know why. I just kept laughing at the idea that they had a live camera on the inflating of the Trump blimp.
Well, I'd seen the headline that said CNN reporter talks about how London doesn't like Trump. And all I thought was, well, a lot of the rural areas in Great Britain, they don't like London.
Right.
You know, what's the point? And while you're looking for that, I did find a good story, because all you're going to hear is negative things.
By the way, they're on it for 1 hour now, apparently.
Wow. Everybody in Great Britain hates Trump is what you're going to hear, mm-hmm. right? That's what they're going to try to portray it. They're going to imply that that's what's going on. He's not really liked over there. A pub owner in London honored President Donald Trump by temporarily renaming his pub after the president for his state visit to the United Kingdom, ABC News reported.
Oh, okay.
Found in West London, the Trump Arms Pub, normally known as the Jameson, was temporarily decorated to commemorate Trump's visit to the UK, greeting patrons with the sign welcoming, quote, our American friends. The pub itself was decked out with USA color schemes and presidential paraphernalia, such as a life-size cutout of the president, as well as a fake Oval Office. Damien Smite, the pub's landlord, told ABC that the move was about showing respect, as the U.S. had no qualms with assisting the U.K. and Ireland during World War II. Quote, they had no qualms about helping this country or the country next door. It's about showing respect. The Americans, the Irish, and the British are great friends, and now we are family. End of quote.
Yeah.
And he also said he wanted to show the American people that that they, the British and the Irish, are family and friends. This can't be forgotten. That's a quote from what he said. So, and good for ABC News. At least they put one good story.
Well, I mean,
for the nine negative ones.
Because, again, Reuters has been on this live camera of the inflating of the blimp, the Trump baby blimp.
I don't know why, when you keep saying that, I keep thinking of the dude from Pink Floyd that always flies the pig.
Roger Waters.
Yeah, was it the war pig?
Yeah, I guess. Well, what I'm wondering is, again, who makes the assignments in these newsrooms anymore these days? You know, the other day we laughed about it. Okay, how many people we got on the whole nasty comment? We got four. Let's get more. Double that up to eight. Order some pizza. We're going to be here all night. You know, seriously.
By the way, we here at Red Eye Radio, because we make the editorial decisions for the entire media, have deemed nasty the word of the year.
Yes. And maybe the word of next year, if we decide.
So, 30 minutes or an hour? Are they still on it? They still got the. I mean, it's
over
just,
an hour now. They're still on it.
And you and I talked about it earlier, and it just gets to be stupid. And I really wonder, because the media is just obsessed with every little specific thing. They talked about, you know, Trump, with the toast and clinking the glasses, which you're not supposed to do. And I'm like, nobody. I'm reading this yesterday. Nobody cares. Nobody cares.
Well, you know the etiquette, but
nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares. Nobody cares.
Who would know that if you didn't point it out?
Well, I mean, did you see? Was it MSNBC or CNN? I'll find it here real quickly. They were talking about, because Obama got the standing ovation at the Toronto Raptors game. The other night. Well, Obama's more popular worldwide than Trump is.
Okay,
it's like, and I'm thinking to myself, really? That's what you're doing?
He was so popular that Hillary didn't win? That his party lost power? Was he that popular? Because I remember it not being the case that she did not win.
Well, yeah, but what they're saying is not in the States, maybe, but in other countries.
Yes.
And that means something to the media if a past president is more popular worldwide than the current president. It's supposed to mean... okay, nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, let's be careful about that.
CNN brags. Here it is, the headline. CNN brags. Obama got a better welcome at NBA game than Trump in London. And you see Cuomo and Don Lemon. Obama gets standing ovation at NBA Finals in Canada.
Okay. Fine. And...
I just laugh at these things that they view as important. And look, they're going to have to do it because, am I missing something? I've got to ask you this. I didn't even ask you this in our mid-show, pre-show, or any time show meeting. Am I missing something? Is there words somewhere that the IG report's coming out at the end of this week? I keep seeing this on social media. Everybody's sort of hinting we'll probably see it this week. And I don't know.
I didn't know that either, because I don't know if it comes from the Papadopoulos thing. You know, he's been tweeting in the last 24 hours or so about something that's going to, or a number of things that might be declassified over the next few days.
Right.
And I don't know what that is. And we don't know. I haven't seen anything, any kind of leak that shows that we are going to see the Inspector General's report.
I know the Washington Examiner has the story that Hannity last night were saying sources may have the Inspector General FISA abuse report already. Daily Caller, the DOG Inspector General's report is coming.
Right. Well, and I
haven't heard
The only thing we have to that. The last thing we heard, I guess, officially on it was
Papadopoulos.
Well, Barr saying, you know, a few weeks ago on Capitol Hill that it would, he expected it to be sometime in May or June. I mean, that's really.
Oh, and at the end of last week, that one, which they say was part of the report. Remember that one thing came out about a deputy. Attorney General who did leak.
But they didn't name who it was. Would be part of the report, right?
Right. Well, they said this is part of the investigation of the inspector general. So that was it. And then I asked that the other day, is this an indication? Is it going to release just parts of it at a time, or will it be the entire report? Now, this should be the timeline. It should be right about now. I mean, it should be this week or next week because it was May or June, but they thought it would be wrapped up, you know, that this thing would be done by June 1st.
Right.
So that will be pretty interesting. This is the Daily Caller, but all they have is, you know, that, you know, get ready for it. It's June, so the inspector report is coming. Get ready. Well, but so was Fox saying that they may have it already. But I saw in social media they were saying, oh, by the end of the week. Now, was that because of Papadopoulos? Maybe that was.
It could be.
That might have been.
Right.
Okay. I thought I might have been missing a huge story somewhere. I'm like, what am I missing?
Right. And the question that we had yesterday, well, I guess we just threw it around that Papadopoulos could be absolutely right or he could be off base. You know, it's not like he's completely disconnected. But we haven't heard anything officially since A.G. Barr said that he expected the report sometime in May or June. And here we are. So, and I guess we go back to the comments last week. It would be a matter of days, not weeks, before we would learn something that would curl our hair. So we'll see. I don't need my hair curled.
Neither do I.
No, I'm good.
Mine's already curly.
Yeah, to learn something important, that would be fine.
And here's the story yesterday, 527. Clarence Thomas questions the sources of retirement rumors. He's just wondering where they're coming from, and we know where they're coming from.
Right.
Inside the DNC, because the DNC wants to try to energize in any way its base.
Yeah.
Because if they can say that Justice Thomas is going to be retiring here in the next couple of years, then that's their push to get a Democrat president.
Yep.
Nominate the next replacement. See, even, I was right and thought I made a mistake.
Well, here's what's funny is because McConnell was asked the question a few days ago. Mitch McConnell, if there's a vacancy on the court in the summer of 2020, will you move to fill that vacancy or will you put it off until after the election? He said, no, we'll fill it. And then the Democrats, see, he's being a hypocrite. You know what? After the Kavanaugh thing, sorry, all bets are off.
All bets are off.
Rules are out the window. Deal with it. It's not going to work the way I want it to work every time. So if you don't respect the process, expect this to be the norm, and they absolutely will act on it. If that happens, we'll see.
I just, you know, I just wondered yesterday because I'm going to everyone, I'm like, well, where's this? Is there a story out? And then the story came out late last night from Fox that they were talking about it, that sources say William Barr may. Well, I mean, to me, that's a reach when you say, if sources say he does, sources say he may. Well, a source saying maybe something is happening is not a good source story.
Right.
I'm sorry, but it's not.
Exactly.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Well, the EPA has created that rule allowing year-round sales of gasoline blended with 15% ethanol and in time for the summer driving season.
Okay, what's next?
Good question. Jeff Cooper, asking it, president of the Renewable Fuels Association, he told reporters Monday, what is not next is a big, fast increase in E15 sales. In fact,
the immediate impacts of this rulemaking are going to be somewhat modest. you know, what this does is it really breaks down the door to longer-term growth.
However, in the immediate future,
the final rule undoubtedly will be subject to legal challenge.
But Washington, D.C. Attorney Brian Stockton told reporters that for the oil industry to successfully challenge it, it would have to prove irreparable harm from the rule, and in his opinion,
opponents may have a difficult time showing harm from the rule. The rule is not a mandate to use E15. And the rule explains various factors why there will not be an overnight shift from E10 to E15.
So he thinks the year-round E15 rule's pretty solid. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Washington.
The USDA report is brought to you by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Highway Diesel Fuel.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara.
You did it again.
What?
You checked the temperatures around the nation.
I mean, it's June 4th, and just checking out some of the temperatures in the Northeast. For example, southwestern New York, if you talk like Olean, Jamestown, Ellicottville, Salamanca, all roughly between 35 and 38 degrees. If you go down to Bradford, Pennsylvania, the temperature right now is 33 degrees. There's frost warnings. That's where I saw it earlier. I'd seen that there's frost warnings for all those portions of southern New York and northern Pennsylvania. And that I saw that yesterday. I said, I got to make sure I watch the temperatures. How low will it go? I mean, there's still a possibility it could go below freezing. If you're at 33 right now, I mean, they only have about an hour or so because roughly 5:30 now.
Yeah, right.
Their Eastern time. So there's not a lot of time, but they could still get, you know, the sun comes up a little bit earlier.
They could get to freezing.
They could get to freezing. There could be and in some other areas, there might be cold enough to get a frost. So we'd like to talk about the fact of the glaciers coming back and reforming and redigging an entire new Great Lakes system.
Yeah, exactly.
Let us get into a discussion today on global cooling, because that's where, remember, that's where it was going. And the other thing that we never discuss is, is we know that the ice age is coming. So even if we're going to have temporary global warming, because of the axis of the Earth and where we're going, we know that in roughly, is it 6,000 to 10,000 years, we will be in another ice age.
Mm-hmm.
Are we preparing for that? Well, I just remembered. I got to go find it. I just remembered. I was over the weekend. I got to find the Bjorn Lundberg. Bjorn Lundberg is the climatologist who believes that climate change is happening.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He believes he's not sure how he believes it, and he believes that man has some impact on it. But he believes that almost every single liberal solution makes the problem worse.
Every one of your solutions.
I may not be able to find it today, but we'll get it for tomorrow's show. That's why it's unique, and that's why we always bring it up, because he's a guy that says, "Yeah, I think it's happening, and I believe that man is responsible for it." Mm-hmm. But it's way smaller than the left is saying, and all the solutions from the left are completely wrong.
Right.
In fact, they do, as we've talked about, they do the opposite.
Well, who is who's the one nation that's leading right now?
Oh, we are.
That's right.
The United States.
And now we're exporting LNG.
We're helping. That's right. I didn't even think. The president forgot to mention that.
No, I think he did tweet it. I think he tweeted it or mentioned it in a comment recently.
The climate change portion of it?
Oh, no, no, no.
Oh, that's what I mean.
Okay. I didn't see where you were going.
That's what I mean. Yeah, he tweeted about that, but he needs to include in that tweet. And we're helping to save Europe from climate change.
Yeah.
Oh, just to burn the left.
Oh, my gosh. It would be great.
All right, somebody in the White House, we know you're listening on WMAL right now. Get the word to the president.
Please.
To make sure he mentions climate change the next time he mentions the big container ships with the LNG.
Right. Just send him a private message on Twitter. He'll get it.
Yes.
We know that's where his focus will be.
Hey, it's a day now, so he's up.
Right, exactly. Here is your forecast.
Couple areas today where we think we'll see the threat of severe weather most intense. from the Big Bend area of Texas along I-10 and I-20 to the north, and then in through Dallas under the threat of heavy rain and severe weather today. Then as you move a little bit northward on Kansas' eastern border into Missouri, up into Iowa, Illinois, and then back over to eastern Nebraska between I-80 and I-70, we'll see the most concentrated rainfall and potential for severe weather. So watch it if you're up and down northbound or southbound I-35 today between Kansas City and Des Moines, likely to see large hail and the potential for damaging winds, especially later in the afternoon. The I-95 corridor will remain largely dry today. We could see the late afternoon pop-up thunderstorm. Generally, the south, hot and humid but dry. Atlanta should be just under 90 for the high. Your national weather forecast from Red Eye Radio, I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Join the Mind Meld, 1-866-90-RED-EYE. Back to Gary McNamara and Eric Harley.
And he's Eric. I'm Gary.
And we're all doomed.
Before we get to our audio cut of the day, we just have to look at this story again, because Cece Telfer, the transgender individual, the male identifying as a female, who won the 400-meter hurdles at the NCAA Division II Outdoor Track and Field Championships last month, denies being a biological male is an advantage. You ready?
All right.
First, here's a quote from him. First of all, my height, how tall I am, is a disadvantage, because the wind is hitting us so hard, and the taller you are, the harder you fall, basically, the senior, who is over 6 feet tall, said. By the way, if you see him lining up against the women, he towers over them. There's wind resistance.
His challenge is wind resistance. Okay. See, you guys don't have it as easy, or I don't have it as easy as the women.
Actually, racing against the women, he is at a disadvantage.
A disadvantage, yes. Because of the wind resistance.
Look, if you're going to be delusional, we've said this before, if you're going to be delusional, take it all the way.
Yes, please. I've got my huge cranium. I almost fell over, toppled over, because I'm so top heavy. Oh my gosh.
In an analysis of Telfer's performance in three conference-winning races earlier this season at the Northeast 10 Conference Championship, Turtle Boy Sports reported that the three times in the 60-meter dash, the 60-meter hurdles, and the 200-meter dash did not measure up to any of the male finalists, but won the women's races. Most of the gaps were not small for the races this short. Telfer would have trailed the last place male finalist by more than half of a second in the 60-meter dash. That's the last place finalist by a half a second in 60 meters. And almost 1.7 seconds in the 200, but won the women's 60-meter hurdles by half a second.
Huh. All right. Great.
Wow. The average man has 26.4 more pounds of muscle than the average woman. 40% more muscle in the upper body, 33% more in the lower body. So there you go. As National Review pointed out in February, Florence Griffin Joyner holds a women's world record in the 100-meter dash at 10.49 seconds. Even so, her time would not have even qualified to run in the 2016 Summer Olympics as a man.
Well, then let's just open all sports up. Everyone competes every time, and only the top contenders get in.
Well,
right?
this is where it gets to be a little bit of fun now, because the Babylon Bee parody site had one of the greatest articles ever written yesterday.
Right.
Left vows to topple patriarchy by allowing biological males to dominate women's sports. Declaring that the future is female, Americans on the left of the political spectrum solemnly vowed Saturday to topple the patriarchy once and for all by allowing biological males to dominate all women's sports. Not allowing men who identify as women to participate in women's sports is patriarchal oppression and probably transphobic or maybe sexist, we think.
Really? We think?
Babylon Bee's great. We think.
We think. I love it.
You know, we talked about, you know, the when we have over the last couple, and you brought it up. You said, look, we've watched the Democrats out there. There is no energy.
There isn't.
The president just at everyday rallies, his crowds are going crazy. And we've said that no matter, you know, what this president has gone through, you can look at him, you can say, oh, he's eccentric there. Okay, you know, and everybody has their opinions on this president. He shouldn't do this. But basically, when they look at what he's doing, most people go, okay, but I like a lot of what he's doing. That's what you
right.
hear. I like a lot of what he's doing. But when they call him crazy and when they call him insane, well, you just said Joe Biden jump on the Equality Act, which will legalize men competing in women's sports by stating that a male who claims they're a female is then technically and scientifically a female.
Exactly.
And Trump's nuts. And I think that part of that cultural thing has not changed since Trump has been in president. It's only gotten worse. And I think that you still see that Trump, to many people, even many independents, and maybe even a growing number of Democrats, we don't know yet, look at Trump and say, he is the only thing that's saving us from this insanity.
Yeah, I really wonder if that's the new version of the silent majority. I mean, it just as a possibility. We have no way of measuring this, and we won't until after Election Day next year. And I just have to wonder.
Well,
because think about it. Look, the very fundamentals they're trying to change in science.
Yes.
He'd like to build a wall.
Yeah. a man can be a woman.
Right.
Think about this. So whatever Trump has said, and now remember, now the mainstream Democrat by Biden jumping aboard means Biden's analysis, scientific analysis, is insane.
Right.
It's insane. If you look at he may not be insane, but the statement is insane.
Yes. Right. Well, but he endorses it. That's the first thing he's going to do. Think about
that. It's the number one problem he sees.
Yes.
Is the Equality Act, which would protect transgenders, which would make it so biological males can compete. And as we all know now, the Equality Act, after it was passed by the House, the demonization now of lesbians has begun from the Democrats and feminists. Feminists and lesbians are now to blame for the oppression of transgenders. I mean, this is just, it is, you think about this, you go, these people are just nuts. I mean, they're just crazy.
Okay, remember the whole, the movie Liar, Liar with Jim Carrey?
Yeah.
If they were being intellectually honest, oh man, somebody's got to do this. You know the whole, bad lip reading videos? You know, where they insert words that kind of fit, looks like what they're saying, but insert for like a Joe Biden. I want you to believe that if a man says he's a woman, he should be able to compete against women regardless of what they say. My competitor, the man who occupies the White House right now, wants to secure our border.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, if they said it.
Yeah. No, you're right.
On based on the issues, based on the ideas, without the rhetoric.
This guy, my opponent, wishes to have security on the border. I want to ensure that a man can be a woman when a man wants to be a woman. Now, come on.
And can compete with women, and you don't get right. to say anything about it.
Right. And if you say anything about it, you're a bigot, and you're intolerant. Oh, really? You're going to really attempt to sell it to the American people?
Yeah. I mean, if it were on the ideas, that's what they would have to say.
You're right. All right, I want to play our audio cut of the day. It comes from Sidney Powell, who did an interview last week with the Epoch Times. Mm. And Sidney Powell is a former federal prosecutor who wrote the book License to Lie about the rot inside of the Justice Department. And she said it's been around for a while now. And she was asked, this part of it, she was asked about whether she thinks that the entire the Mueller report should be unredacted. Here we go.
Including this grand jury elements and so forth.
Well, Congress has 98.5% of the report unredacted, which is the most transparent anybody has ever been with a report like this. All the Attorney General had to say was the conclusions of it. So we have not only the most transparent president in history, who produced 1.4 million documents and waived executive privilege and waived attorney-client privilege so that everything and everybody could testify for how many hours Mr. Mueller and his team wanted it, you know, hundreds of hours of testimony. And then Attorney General Barr, literally all he had to say was there's no validity to any, no charges are being brought. That's all he owed to the American people or Congress. Instead, he produced the whole report in the interest of transparency, except the grand jury material that he's legally required to protect or anything that might be classified for some reason. So I think there's been ample transparency there. I can't imagine that there's anything in that little bit of material. It certainly wouldn't change the conclusions. And Mr. Mueller didn't seek to change the conclusions.
Right.
Mr. Mueller and Mr. Barr agree on the conclusions of the report.
Right.
Frankly, when Mr. Mueller did not recommend pressing charges, which he could have recommended, I mean, even under his view of the OLC decision as not allowing them to indict, mm-hmm. that didn't mean he couldn't have said, we recommend indicting. If he were not sitting president, we would indict him. The report doesn't say that. Instead, it talks about the potentially relevant obstruction statutes in an ordinary case. This is not an ordinary case. This is the president of the United States who had every right to fire the person he fired. The investigation went on uninterrupted. He disclosed millions of pages of documents, and countless witnesses testified. How anybody could read obstruction of justice into any of that is beyond my comprehension, and there isn't a single obstruction statute that does apply, even under Mr. Weissman's broad reading of the law or willingness to piece together parts of different statutes to make a new crime out of something that wasn't.
Hmm. There you go.
You know, she makes the point here. You pointed out, I think it was last Wednesday night into Thursday morning after Mueller made his statement, you talked about the similarities between, Comey and Mueller, right? Mm-hmm. Think about, though, the whole idea of no reasonable prosecutor. And she just points out here where Mueller, in this case, was pointing out, you know, essentially what would happen in an ordinary case. And this is no ordinary case. Which was the same point that we made going back to James Comey. Well, no one is ever prosecuted when he testified. No one has ever prosecuted. No, that we're aware of, no Secretary of State has ever, again, knowingly put the nation's secret at risk.
Right. You couldn't, and where he said he couldn't find a similar case.
Right.
Well, because none existed like this.
Right. Just because it's unprecedented doesn't mean you don't move forward.
Right. I couldn't find a specific other Secretary of State that took a server and put it in their own home.
Right.
Well, because nobody else has done it. And
tell me when it's happened.
And really, under recent administrations before that, they didn't even have servers.
Right. Exactly. No. Yeah, you're right.
866-90-RED-EYE.
There's a new Shell Rotella engine oil for gas engines. Shell Rotella Gas Truck is available now. Megan Pino, Shell Rotella Global Brand Manager, tells us what was behind the development and more about the product.
Obviously, Shell Rotella's heritage is heavy-duty engine oil, and that will remain our heritage. And we know that our customers work hard, but they also love to play hard. And many of our customers also own a gasoline-powered pickup truck, SUV, and perhaps as a personal vehicle or as part of the business. We also know that truck owners use their trucks for different purposes than a car. To be able to tow something, whether that's an RV or a boat for fun on the weekend, for your business, for hauling equipment. So you're doing something different with your truck than you are with a car. And so why use the same motor oil that you would in your car as your truck? There are three viscosity grades, 0W20, 5W20, and 5W30, which covers any gasoline-powered pickup truck or SUV in terms of the manufacturer recommendations.
For more, go to Rotella.com. This engine report is a service of Shell Rotella.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. I was just telling Eric during the break that the real reason I'm concerned about when the Inspector General report is supposed to come out, because, Fox News last night saying some of the sources saying that Barr already has it. Others are saying, because of Papadopoulos' comments, that it may come out this week. The reason I was concerned about it is I want it out now and not Friday, because I'd like to golf this weekend.
You want a weekend?
I want a weekend, yes. And if it comes out Friday, I will have no weekend at all.
Well, inevitably there are many things that happen on Friday, that drop on Friday, stories that come out on Friday, and so it means a weekend of work for us. We have to break it down.
And I don't want to work.
No. Want to sit around.
Well, maybe they don't want it to come out Friday. Maybe they want it to come out Monday, so there's more talk about it. Maybe the Attorney General just wouldn't do that. Ah, that's a thought. I don't want to bury this.
Yeah, maybe.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.